Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
One duck.
Boy, he got some heat. Got it away, though, and not very long. Here goes Harvey. He's gone. Boulder, he's dynamite. Touchdown. Oregon leads.
One beaver.
Second and one. Smith hands to Simonton. Simonton around the corner. Is he going to score?
This is a Civil War Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by A&A. Come celebrate with A&A and watch one of the nation's oldest college rivalries, Oregon's Civil War, at A&A's Rose and Thorn this Saturday.
Civil War Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is 12:02 in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague alongside, as always, Andy Dirt Johnson. We are live. You are hearing us live inside the confines of the beautiful Moda Center here in downtown Portland, basically, for the PK80 Invitational. Happy Black Friday to everybody out there.
Everybody that's been shopping for about 7.5-8 hours now.
It's chaos, too. I've already encountered it.
Really? Has people been trampled yet at a Walmart? Has that gone on?
Well, last night I was leaving some family's house, and it was probably 9:40, and I was going to stop at Target just to see what they had, because now Black Friday deals start on Thursday.
Yeah, it leaks into Thursday night.
Literally no parking. I went one time.
Really?
There wasn't one spot available, so I said, I'm not doing this, so I went home.
Really?
Then I woke up early this morning because I had to prep because I'm having another Thanksgiving meal today, which, by the way, found my food.
You got your turkey?
I got my turkey. It was thawed.
There's your update.
Prep my food, and then I went to Freddy's over off of TV Highway deep in Beaverton, and it was packed. I mean, the sock mania at Fred Meyer's every year was crazy.
Are socks really that expensive? I've never noticed that.
They're 50% off socks.
Well, I mean, that's a good deal on socks, but it's not like you're saving the bank by not buying full-price socks.
Right, but their name, like, it's Nike socks. There's
okay, you can get fancy
socks.
That's what you're telling me. Yeah. I'm new to this because the girlfriend and her family, they are annual Black Friday shoppers.
Are we talking 2 a.m. or like, what do they do?
It used to be worse. It used to be pretty early in the morning. And I think today they kicked it back a little bit and went about 7 or so. So not super early, which I appreciated. But, yeah, they live with this stuff, man. They love it. I don't get it. The idea of waking up early on a Friday morning after Thanksgiving. Like, I rolled out of bed at like 8:30 today, and I still had a turkey hangover. I still have one right now, and it's like 4 hours later.
Yeah.
You just got that tryptophan. It's in your system. You ate way too much food. You're not moving very fast. The idea of waking up that next morning at 4 or 5 o'clock and going shopping, it just doesn't seem appealing to me.
I took 3 naps yesterday.
You got to.
3. Think about that. I mean, I ate so much food. Because, yeah. You know, I was listening to a little bit of Dusty this morning on my drive around, and he was like, why don't we eat these foods more than once a year? And I thought,
because it wipes you out. You can't handle it.
And I thought, great thinking, Dusty, but it kills you. I mean, you eat 2-3 plates, which I did, loaded up with stuffing, gravy, everything.
The whole thing.
I took 3 naps. I couldn't hang.
I know. I was out. I woke up, obviously, a little sluggish from Wednesday night, needed a quick nap in the morning. And then, as soon as I was done eating a couple of meals, I fell asleep on the floor for about an hour and a half, and it felt great.
Yeah, it did.
And then I was in bed by like 8:30 last night.
I didn't go to bed quite that early.
I was out. I tried to make it to the end of I think I did, but just make it to the end of the Redskins game, and I wanted to see the Oregon UConn game and how that was going to finish out. Once those were done, I was lights out and done for the night.
You didn't have a lot of stops, did you?
Yesterday on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I just went to the girlfriend's in the morning. They ate early. They're like 1 o'clock eaters because her folks had to go to work. So we ate at like 1 o'clock there, and then we headed down to my folks, had some pie, a little more food. And the double shift of eating is a lot to handle.
You almost because I went to my mom's, and, I mean, we loaded up at my mom's. And then we had to go to my wife's aunt's house, and we show up late there, and they're pressuring us to eat. I physically couldn't eat anymore. I mean,
I was like, no, I don't want another slice of pie.
And then they brought out this Costco. Costco makes these, like, rectangular cakes that are layered, but they're
I mean, just incredible. Busted it out. What did I do? Opened my mouth and I'm eating two pieces.
You can only say no for so long. They slide something in front of you. You're gonna grab a slice.
And you know what? I want to give a little recognition here. I'm really not kidding when I say this. Totally get how people get addicted to food. I really do. Because I sat there and I thought, this is amazing to eat like this. To have
just a nonstop, no filter, no limit, just go.
Yes.
Go.
Stretchy pants are on.
Yeah.
You want
yeah.
thirds, you eat thirds.
No shame. Everybody's telling you to go eat more too.
Yeah.
It's not like you gotta feel shame of like, oh God, is he still eating?
Yeah.
Everybody's force feeding you more food.
And the thing that sucks about running, aside from running itself, and even runners will always say, like, running sucks.
Yeah, running is awful.
Nobody likes running. Not even people who run.
It's exercise.
But I've done it so much this past year that I have now limited, like, what I eat, how much of it I eat, that when you get to Thanksgiving, your stomach is just, what's going on here? What are we doing with all of this?
Everything's bursting open. I do. My controversial hot take of the day, though, I'm actually going to disagree with Dusty.
On the eating those foods more often?
I think they're, like, outside of Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. I never sit around and have a craving for those foods.
You eat mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes occasionally. I'm more of a baked potato guy than a mashed potato guy. But, yeah, you eat baked potatoes from time to time. But I can't think of another time of the year that I'm sitting around craving stuffing. I love stuffing, but it's not like it comes to the forefront of my mind. Whereas if you mix it in with, like, you know, good Mexican food or, oh, God, I'm in the mood for Chinese tonight or, hey, you know what, a pizza sounds good. Those kind of food items.
Yeah.
I'm never sitting around in, like, July craving a turkey.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, well,
I think it's the uniqueness of it being one day. We all look forward to it. You eat all those foods, you cram them down, and then you're like, all right, I had my fill for another year.
You're not really into it in that way, though, because you'll eat a turkey sandwich, right?
Yes, you will have a turkey sandwich.
But like cooking it the way that we cook turkeys on Thanksgiving.
Right.
They should thank their lucky stars that chickens were born and made smaller. Because if they weren't, we would be just as into turkey as we are with chicken, in my opinion.
It'd be chicken day. Chicken day.
Yes, if chickens were turkeys and turkeys were chickens, we would have Kentucky Fried Turkey.
You like, kind of just you blew my mind with that a little bit.
It would be completely flipped.
That blew
because
my mind.
Chicken cooks for 30 minutes.
It's much easier to cook.
Yes. I'm
and it tastes better. I'm sorry. It's not even close. Chicken's way better than turkey.
Absolutely.
It's like not even in the same ballpark.
Right. Turkey's kind of gamey. It's a little dry.
Yeah. I give you the choice of the meats on 7 days a week. Take Thanksgiving out of the equation. You're taking chicken 7 days a week.
Oh, not even thinking about it. Yesterday, the debate was, why do we even have turkey now? Everybody loves ham so much.
Yeah.
I like turkey.
I have to ask you guys, have you ever had ground turkey before?
Yes.
Yes, I've had ground turkey.
Ground turkey's amazing. I have it year round.
Yeah, you're right, ground turkey. I do, because that's healthier, like a healthier version. So I do like tacos with ground turkey and stuff, or you put it in pasta sauce or something if you make it. But this, the other thing that kind of opened my eyes to this yesterday, too, was it was my first time at the girlfriend's house for Thanksgiving, and they don't even go like conventional. Like they do a rack of ribs.
What?
They had meatballs.
Meatballs.
They had little wieners. Like it was all it was all over the map. And I got to tell you, loved it.
Really?
I loved it. I had a couple of pieces of turkey here or there.
Okay.
But the meatballs were the biggest hit for me. The meatballs were just delicious. And the rack of ribs was a great change of pace because ribs are better than turkey.
Wow.
Right? Nobody's going to deny that. Ribs are better than turkey, are they not?
Shout out to the girlfriend's family.
I give you a nice little slab of ribs in front of you, or you can have a kind of dry turkey. What are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with the ribs.
You're going to go with the ribs,
yeah.
Right? And that kind of opened my eyes.
You know, the cool thing about it, I think, is the more we evolve, the more we think of creative dishes and people break away from the chains of great-grandparent tradition.
Yeah.
I think we're becoming more open-minded as a people.
Yeah, we are.
We don't have to have turkey.
No, we're more accepting of other ingredients.
I have family who is in town for this PK80 tournament because they're huge basketball fans. And I said yesterday, hey, did you guys have Thanksgiving food? They're like, I had Domino's.
They didn't even care.
They didn't have a need or want.
Yeah. They're here for basketball. They don't go do Thanksgiving next week or something.
People are not beholden themselves to strictly having the stuffing, mashed potatoes, and the turkey. And I like that. I like that we're more open-minded that way.
Yeah, that was my hot take of the day, sitting around and being all full and not moving off of the couch. I was like, you know what? I don't need this more than once a year. I'm kind of glad that these food items are just one every 365 days and then you move on.
Yeah, I mean, of the items that are available at Thanksgiving, rolls you eat year-round.
Yes, and
potatoes.
That was my like late night snack last night. Is I had like 80 rolls left over, and I probably pounded like seven of them.
Were you drunk?
No, I just those rolls are delicious.
They soak it up.
Those little warm dinner rolls.
Yeah.
I don't even put butter on them. I just toss those down my gullet.
And I don't like doing the butter thing either. It takes too long.
Boom. Just boop.
I don't have time to spread.
It's like two bites. It's done. Just
dip it in my cranberry sauce and mashed potatoes. Put it in my mouth. Let's go that way.
A little gravy on there.
We are live, like we mentioned, at the Mimota Center, just off of section 108-109, A11 entryway.
Come say hi. Anybody else working today, or are we the only ones? There's got to be somebody else working,
No,
right?
There's a lot of people working today.
A lot of retail folks probably working.
People that can get overtime.
Yeah.
Time and a half, all that.
You know what I didn't know? I got to give credit, too, for yesterday. I did not put my garbage out Wednesday night thinking they would not pick up garbage on Thanksgiving.
And
I didn't realize that. So tip of the hat to garbage men out there who have to work on Thanksgiving.
People got to get up, man. We got to grind. We got a world to take care of.
Got TCB.
We're in front of the men's room, so stop in before you handle your business. Shake our hands. Don't shake the hands after you get out of there, because I won't shake back.
Wash your hands.
We have a lot to get to today. We've got the Apple Cup approaching. We've got the Civil War happening Saturday. We've got to talk about, obviously, the PK-80, and that's kind of where I want to start, is with the PK-80 and the interest level from the city of Portland. And then also, I have a problem with two things involving Portland sports fan.
Okay.
And it's with the PK-80.
Okay.
I'll tell you what both those are. We're on Twitter, at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. And you got Dirt and Sprague live in the Moda Center on 1080 The Fan. We're back with more after this.
This is Civil War Week on Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Alan A.
on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Friday afternoon, getting you set with the PK-80, getting ready for the great college football weekend. We just had a monster upset. Pittsburgh just defeated Miami. Miami now
not quite over yet.
Ow.
It is basically over,
they
but not officially over.
Yeah, I mean, we're 2 minutes away from this being over. Pitt is up 24-7.
Miami just actually put up a touchdown to make it 24-14 now.
Well, okay.
Well, you know what? Thanks, Joe.
Both of you,
darn
shut
it.
Up.
Duke, I'm calling it.
2:15
left.
We don't
have a TV in front of us here. We're on the concourse at the Moda Center. I don't know what the hell is going on. I already put a poll question of this up, so if it happens, we're going to have to old takes exposed ourselves, because I already have a poll question up about Miami losing.
Okay. At Dirt and Sprague. Dirt has like 7 poll questions.
Oh, I went ham on the poll questions today.
He really did. He went hard. So go vote.
A leftover poll question.
And there's a topic I want to tease. First of all, it sounds like Chip Kelly Florida is not happening anymore.
A lot to get to today.
Yeah, there is a lot to get to. We've got the football games, of course. And then there seems to be some interesting conversation, and you've kind of opened my eyes to this because now I'm searching it on social media. I guess Oregon State fan, because of this PK-80, Oregon State's playing in some garbage invitational somewhere.
They almost beat St. John's.
Yeah, their biggest opponent in like that tournament is St. John's. Because they're not here in Portland playing in the PK-80, there's a conversation amongst Beaver fans of ditching Nike. Like, they're tired of it. They want to be done with Nike and maybe move on. So we put a poll question up, and we'll get to this topic. Should Oregon State fan want to have a new company, a new sponsor? And we'll get to that topic as well. So we have a ton of poll questions at Dirt and Sprague, and go vote. But we've mentioned it several times. We're at the PK-80. Portland State Butler is tipped off. That's going underway right now, getting underway. And I want to address the first thing. The first thing I've noticed here, because the fine folks at the PK-80 have been outstanding in setting everything up, great accommodations, fantastic event. This is what I'm going to say. Portland, this is why we don't have nice things. This is why we can't have nice things. All we want in this city is diehard rabid sports fans are these kind of events, these kind of opportunities, right? Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, Butler, Arkansas, UConn. I mean, we want to see that stuff. And attendance here has not been good. It really hasn't. I watched the Portland State Duke game yesterday, the Oregon UConn game. And I just know from being here today and talking to folks from yesterday, attendance is not good. And maybe yesterday the holiday plays a factor in, but I'm really going to be curious what today is, because I've been disappointed. We got a great tournament this year, arguably the best college basketball tournament of all time, and we don't even, like, show up for it.
Yeah, and here's what I have to say about that. First, I'm not surprised by the lack of attendance so far, and I'm going to wait to officially judge our participation in this event until I see it play out for the entire weekend. Yesterday makes a ton of sense to me. It's Thanksgiving. I mean, that takes a special breed of sports fan to get up, leave their family on Thanksgiving, and go watch basketball.
Okay.
And if you don't have a rooting interest in it, I get why you don't want to come spend the entire day. It's a unique day. You're hanging around with family. For husbands or boyfriends or whatever, it's hard to get away from your significant other on Thanksgiving. Say, hey, honey, don't worry. I'm not going to be there to cook the turkey. I'm going to go watch college basketball all day. I think that's a tough sell for sports fans. The other thing is, and, you know, you're right. We were walking around. Butler and Portland State are playing right now in front of us at the Moda Center.
Carolina's right now playing
Arkansas. And Carolina's playing across. And I'm curious. I can't see it because we don't have a TV. So I'm curious what the attendance looks like over there.
I'll text my brother who's over there.
Yeah, because he's over there watching. I'm not shocked that Butler and Portland State isn't a huge draw. Right? I mean, there's not a huge Portland State basketball following.
Okay.
So here's what I want to say about the attendance. I'm curious what it looks like later tonight. There's some bigger games. You know, Duke's playing again.
Against Texas.
Against
you got
Texas,
Mama versus
right?
Bagley.
That's right. A couple of top five picks playing in that game. You got Michigan State and UConn playing tonight, which is a big game. So you're going to have opportunities to see marquee matchups of major programs away from Thanksgiving. And I would be willing to wager. Now, maybe I'm putting too much stock in these sports fans of Portland. I'd be willing to wager these buildings are pretty full on Sunday. Once you're away from the Civil War, you're away from Black Friday, families are probably heading back and traveling away, so you don't have that obligation of handling people that are in town. I think a lot of folks would be around for those marquee games on Sunday.
I was just kind of surprised. I was. I know you said you weren't shocked it's Thanksgiving. I get that. That's a great reason.
But also, Sprague, I think you got to consider this. This isn't a great college basketball area, and we've always known that.
I know. I just kind of thought this would be something
that
like,
even transcend.
If you're not diehard, yeah, you're yeah. like, oh, this is cool. Like,
right.
I'm with you. I don't watch as much college basketball as some of the fans here, right? But you tell me Carolina, Duke, I mean, they get me going. Now, somebody could text in and say, well, why weren't you there yesterday if you're so into it? Well, I knew I was working here today.
Right.
And I'll be watching most of these events
in person.
Well,
it's a Thanksgiving thing for you, too. I mean, that's hard to get away on Thanksgiving.
So, yeah, maybe I guess I just flipped this on myself. But still, I'm with you. I guess I'll wait for the weekend to really give an honest opinion about this. But,
yeah,
let's show up. Like, this is, we want stuff like this.
I know.
We want this opportunity. And it happens. And it's probably never going to happen again. Or maybe it does. Who knows? But I want to see the city of Portland show that we care about it.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, because it was interesting to me sitting around yesterday watching, you know, I love watching sports on Thanksgiving, football games, there's college games on, the NFL games are a great tradition. I found myself, because this is in Portland, watching a lot of the games yesterday. I watched a good chunk of the UP North Carolina game. I watched most of that Portland State Duke game.
Portland State, by the way.
They got hosed by the
officials.
I want
to talk about that game.
Yeah, they got hosed, man. And I was pulling hard for that. I mean, that would have been so cool to watch them beat Duke in the first. That would have been great. Everybody thought Duke was going to roll this thing. The number one team in the country. It would have been fun to see them lose. So I watched a lot of the Oregon-UConn game. And I thought that one looked like it was pretty full on TV. Obviously, you have the local team involved with the Ducks, so that makes more sense.
My again, I have a family member who's had sessions all day yesterday. He said that game wasn't bad, but it was still pretty sparse.
Yeah, still pretty sparse. Yeah. So, and that's where I'll be curious to see where it goes. But it solidifies my opinion that this isn't, I just don't think this is a real college basketball rich area. Even with a program like Oregon, who went to a Final Four last year, the diehardness of the fans, it comes and goes.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes you a while to even get into them. And that's they were Final Four last year. I bet if you ask most Duck fans, they'll start paying attention around Pac-12 play. I mean, last night was the first Oregon game that I watched. I hadn't seen any other games leading up to that. So I think it's just the timing of it and this being an area that's not a diehard college basketball area that feeds into it.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
If you put this in the Southeast, you know, North Carolina country, you put this in New York.
It's packed every day.
You put this in Indiana. You put this in Chicago. Like, you put this in an area that is passionate about the sport of college basketball, there's not an empty seat in the house.
I guess it's just more my need to see a lot of like-mindedness in this regard of I love sports so much, and I feel like there is a great percentage of diehard sports fan in Portland. I also feel like you could say Portland's not as rabid as a ton of cities. People hate when I say that, but I think that's a fact. And I think this is a great case study for where sports fandom and how crazy people are and craving this kind of an event is.
Right.
This is not, like you mentioned, college basketball in Portland. It's just not big. Unless your team is good.
We're an NBA town. We're not a college basketball town.
You're right. That's 100% correct. But this is a special situation where you get schools that you never get to see in person unless you travel to go see them.
Hey, I see what you're saying, Matt, because I kind of had the mindset like you yesterday of, you know, hey, I'll be there Friday doing the show. I'll check out some of the games. That's probably all I'll go to. Walking around today, and, you know, I popped my head into the into the Coliseum, seeing North Carolina warm, you know, like walking around in their warm-ups, and Roy Williams over there, Jay Billis down on the floor. I mean,
I saw Jay Billis shirtless before the show today.
Hey, there you go. He's changing shirts.
Like,
nice.
Down on the court.
How's he look shirtless? Yeah. Washed up athlete shirtless?
Kind of, yeah. Okay, yeah. Just like I put in my time. I don't need to keep working out.
Let himself go a little bit. Yeah. But it hit me when I got here today. Like how cool this is. And it didn't hit me yesterday. Just watching on TV, I was like, it's cool. Duke's playing at the Memorial Coliseum. Doesn't really connect. But walking around here and being at the facility today, like, dude, this is kick-ass, man. This is the best college basketball tournament that's ever existed.
Absolutely. Got Jason Swigards hanging out with us right now in the Portland Pilots gear, getting ready for their game. It's going to be – I'm coming back Sunday. I have to go to this – I'm going to the Civil War Saturday. Everybody bought tickets for that. But I'm coming back Sunday. I want to watch the championships. I mean, come on. A tournament like this, it's –
Well, this is where I just, you know, somebody's saying, and you guys are saying Major League Baseball would work here. Like, every sport is apples to oranges. Like, if we had an NBA All-Stars kind of weekend here that's not including a local team, are you kidding me?
Oh, you mean Friday through Sunday it would be packed.
And for those who, like, just not to rehammer that argument again, but Portland outpaced the national average of World Series ratings. If you go back and break it down game by game, somebody did this. And Mike Barrett was the one that tweeted it out, that they looked at the game-by-game ratings, and the Portland market watched the World Series on a higher average than the national audience. So, yes, this is – baseball would work here. It's an apples-to-oranges comparison. Thanksgiving weekend, a lot of other things that are going into it.
Well, before we get into the football stuff, I can't believe I'm teasing this. I want to talk about how Portland State got hosed by refs against the Duke Blue Devils. They almost beat Duke yesterday. Had a great game against Duke. Duke pulled away, obviously won by double digits, but I want to talk about that game a little bit. For those that were sitting around, and I think the Cowboy game was on at the time, and that game sucked. Like, that ended up being a blowout. So I want to talk about Portland State getting screwed by officials. I'll talk about that next, but first, Joe with the sports update.
This is Civil War Week on Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Alan A.
on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. We have got a hot debate right now of a Civil War spread. We have the bet to be making, and Dirt just told me the spread he's going to give me for this game.
19.5. I'm going to give you 19.5.
Absolute BS.
It's only 1 point less than what you were asking for.
No, it's not.
You were asking for 20.5 points on Monday.
I was asking for 21.
Yeah, see, I'm not going north of 21.
It's
going to
be a push or you're going to win.
No, well, first off, I don't want to push because then one of us is not going to have a mullet next year, and that's not fun. So we can't have a push. I feel like 19.5 is a pretty fair spread. Oregon State lost by 21 on the road to Arizona.
Okay.
I think Arizona's a good team.
All right. And then they lost by 20 to Oregon.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could play apples and oranges all you want.
Stanford
beat Oregon by 40 points, and Oregon State almost beat Stanford, so maybe you should be giving me points by that theory. I'm just thinking, all right?
No Arizona, Bryce Love.
Arizona's a good team. You lost by 21. It's a rivalry game.
Shenanigans.
19.5 is a fair spread. That's a big spread.
55305 is 19.5 point spread. Fair enough to have a mullet on the line for.
Yes, you know, it is.
I want to see the reaction to this.
I'm a Duck alum / fan too, and I think you got to give him like the 20.5, just or 21.5. Things interesting here. I think, come on.
I won't go 21.5.
Yeah, it's got to be less. It's got to be less than 21 points.
All right,
Let's go 20.5.
You got to go 20.
Because I want to win this bet. A 21 point win is a blowout win.
Right, but 20.5, you would win that.
Okay, fine. I'll give you 1 point.
There we go.
I'll give you 1 point. I'll give you 20.5. Right. If they win by 20, I'm gonna throw my TV out a damn window. I'm going to lose my mind on Saturday.
Come on, Corey Hall. Come on. Okay, there we go. We got our point spread for the Civil War bet. That game's tomorrow. I didn't think I was going to have to talk about this, but Portland State Duke was a basketball game yesterday. Portland State was beating Duke at halftime. 49-45 yesterday.
That was awesome.
And I have just one thing to say. Why do the officials have to ruin everything? And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, they went ham in the second half of this game.
Yeah, it was hometown calls for the non-hometown team.
No kidding. It ended up Duke shooting 42 free throws. Portland State, 12. Now, look, a lot of these calls, let's give Duke credit, more athletic, creating fouls. That happens. We know. That's ridiculous. That was absolutely ridiculous. They called the technical on that kid. Also gave him his fifth personal foul.
Yeah, what did he was sitting on the he was sitting in front of the scorer's table. He must have hollered something, right? And they teed him up
as a different tee. I think there were two tees.
Oh, okay. I saw that one tee.
Yeah, one kid had four fouls, and then something happened, and a ref that wasn't even near it gave him another technical.
Yeah.
And first of all, give Portland State some credit. That was a fun game. I turned over and watched that, and they came close, but ultimately, you know, Duke pulled away in the second half, outscored him 54-32, but. God, the officiating. Get out of the way and let some kids play basketball.
Well, and that really was, I mean, that was a bummer to see him fall short yesterday. That was like my main rooting interest as the afternoon went on, outside of because we have some scratch on the Redskins covering, or had some Redskins scratch on them covering last night, was pulling for Portland. It's like one of those early tournament games you get where a 15 could upset a 2. That would have been so cool to watch it happen. Portland State was hot. They were knocking down shots early. A lot of local products on that team. So it's fun to watch them. Get a chance against the Duke team. But that really, to me, was the theme of the day yesterday. For as fun as this tournament is and how exciting it is to have all these teams here, the officiating was just awful all afternoon.
So bad.
The Oregon one stuck out a lot to me because that was the one game I did watch from start to finish. There were 53 fouls in that game.
Gosh.
Think about that. In a 40-minute game, 20-minute half, 53 fouls were called.
That's ridiculous.
And at what point do you just say, look, it's a preseason tournament. Maybe there's a lot of bumping going on out there, but let them play.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like it was going to get to a point where both teams were going to have their starting lineups foul out. Both teams were in the bonus basically the entire game, and there was zero flow. Like, college basketball from time to time is hard enough to watch to begin with, but then you add in that where there's no flow, there's no back and forth, and it's just constant herky-jerky stop and shooting free throws. That was unwatchable for a decent stretch, and the officiating's been terrible the first two games.
I just stop being the story. You shouldn't be the story. Yeah. I just want to watch basketball. I don't want to have to worry about you blowing your whistle every other possession there. That's really frustrated me. And you know, I was pulling for Portland State. I thought that was cool that they were even competing with Duke. Duke's so supremely talented, and Portland State's right there. You know, taking blows and giving blows right back, and ultimately they lose to Duke. The other thing, and I don't know how to decipher this. If did Duke fan travel, or have we completely underestimated the Portland market in thinking that Duke fan absolutely thrives here in Portland? Because I'm telling you right now, we're on the concourse. Almost every other fan is at least a Duke fan. And when we were sitting pregame right near where Billis is calling the action courtside, you looked up in the stands and all you saw were Duke Blue Devil shirts.
Yeah, and they're next. They're up next here in the Moda Center after Butler and Portland State play today. And that... I think it's a two-parter. I think there's truth in both answers. I think Duke fans travel well because it's all they got, and it's a really passionate fan base. But also, when you have situations like this, it reminds you how many front runners there are out there.
Good Lord.
People that have nothing to do with Duke other than just watching a successful team on TV for years because it's Duke. There's a lot of it's like they're the Yankees of college basketball. Like, you ask people, why are you a Yankee fan? They're always on TV when I was a kid. They're always winning World Series. It's the same way with Duke, man. I do think there's a lot of fans that traveled. I know there's a lot of Michigan State fans that traveled. Just walking around and hearing some stories from people here, a lot of folks just said, screw it to Thanksgiving. We're going to come out.
It's actually kind of a cool thing to do for a holiday.
Yeah, I mean,
weekend.
You got the day off. I mean, most people got the Thursday, Friday off from work anyway, so you just fly out Wednesday night, and you get a chance to watch your team. And these are diehard fan bases, Duke, Michigan State, North Carolina, Butler. I mean, these are big-time fan bases in college basketball. So I do think there's a lot of travel, but the reason there's the most Duke is because of front-runner fans in this area that root for the Blue Devils.
Yeah, I kind of want to stop some of them and go, hey, did you travel here, or did you always live here and you
like,
became
nah,
a
live,
Duke fan?
I live in Beaverton. Oh, how convenient of you. How'd you become a Duke fan?
No.
Oh, you just like to root for winners. Gotcha.
You went to where? Oh, North Salem High School? Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
I went to Clackamas Community College.
Where'd your parents go to school? They didn't go to college. Oh, okay. You just happen to be a Duke fan, huh? Yeah.
And somebody said Duke and Carolina represent everywhere they go. That's true. I mean, I remember being at the Final Four and seeing the number of North Carolina fans there. That was
in Arizona.
Whew. Yeah, and that's there were fans, because I thought I was crazy for driving the 20 hours to go down and watch the Final Four in Oregon play. And I remember we got to our tailgate before the game, and there were North Carolina fans set up next to us at the tailgate, about a dozen of them. Nice people.
Yeah.
Really nice. I mean, they just were, you know, it's going to be a good game. We're excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
the all 12 of them next to us at our tailgate, they drove from North Carolina.
Oh, man.
I thought I was an idiot from driving from Portland. They drove from North Carolina to come out to Arizona.
I think at that point, if I'm that rabid, I'm applying for a credit card, and I'm paying that sucker off later. I'm flying. I'm not driving from North Carolina all the way to Arizona to watch my team play. I'm sorry. I love my teams, but I don't think I could do that commute. I'd have to fly.
Yeah, somebody said I'm the only Duke fan I know in Portland. Surprised to see how many were there.
Let me ask you this, though.
Let me ask you this, though. If you're a Duke fan, how do you know other Duke fans are out there? It's not like there's opportunities to go watch them. You know, other NBA teams come, and you can see how many are in the other fan base. You don't have that. I mean, I know Duke's played here, what, twice? They played here with Dunleavy and Singler over the years. But
yeah,
outside of that, it's not like Duke's here every year, and you get a chance to go watch them.
No, but weren't they in they played one of the regionals. Was it Spokane Regional they were in? Was it the – God, I feel like they were in a regional somewhere close to us. I can't remember where. Maybe Tex, please, can help with that. But I would just counter with that Duke fan. One, you're not alone. There are
– yeah, it's clear –
probably a couple thousand Duke fans. And two, the second thing I would say is, shouldn't you know if you are the only one? I feel like if you love Duke, it's strictly because of basketball. And if you love them because of basketball, you're in a small minority of college basketball fan in Portland. Wouldn't there be a Duke meetup somewhere at a bar to watch games occasionally?
You would think so, right? Yeah, a little get up at a Saturday bar to go watch the Duke UNC game or something.
Yeah, or whatever. Duke's playing North Carolina State. Whatever it is, don't you think there would be a meetup, or am I thinking that's just a football thing and I'm translating it?
No, this should be a college basketball thing for Duke. One other take on Duke is just watching more of that game. I really want to punch Grayson Allen in the face. And if I run across him, I might have to go down courtside for that Duke game, take a break, and walk down there and see if I got a chance to trip him or something.
Well, he lived right up to the Grayson Allen.
He did, man. He did.
Look, if you're a Duke
fan. He's got that face. He's got the haircut.
You're a Duke fan.
The way he reacts.
You defend your team, and you also kind of embrace the hate. Yeah. That's how I feel.
Oh,
I've always felt that way.
Yeah, you have to. People hate you for a reason, so you brag about it. They hate you because you're good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll move on from Duke. They play Texas. I'm going to stick around for that game after our show. It starts at 2:30.
A couple of top five picks in that ballgame.
Marvin Bagley III, and then the Mamba kid from Texas, legit seven-footer. And Shaka Smart versus Mike Krzyzewski, which maybe Shaka Smart can think of something to pull an upset. So that should be a good matchup today. All right, coming up next, before we get to the Oregon State question we have for you, I want to pass along this Chip Kelly nugget, because now it appears – Florida and Chip Kelly are no longer going to happen. And we'll explain next. Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan.
This is Civil War Week on Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Alan A.
on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. 12:48 on 1080 The Fan. Dirt and Sprague with you, live at the Moda Center, the PK Invitational. Saying hi to an old media friend of ours stopping by. Getting ready for the Duke game coming up here in about an hour and a half. You got Butler and Portland State playing right now. I really like, apologies for this, the Portland State's coach is escaping my mind. He seems like a really good coach. And what he's done, it's very early on for Portland State, but just having them be competitive, as we mentioned in the last segment, and then I think they had won four games prior to that. So, but I want to move on to some football news. I saw this from Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports.
Bombshells all over the place today, man. It's a good sports day.
This is going to be a good sports week, and I really think the Oregon State hire is going to be coming any minute now. I would be on watch for that. Again, I'm just saying, I mentioned it on Wednesday's show.
You did.
Angie told me that they have their person, and it's just a matter of when they can announce it versus when it's ready and all that stuff. So I just think these next 5 days in sports, it's going to be fascinating for us. This comes from Pat Forty via Yahoo Sports. Florida has moved on from Chip Kelly as its potential next head coach. Multiple sources have told him Florida administrators met with Kelly last Sunday in New Hampshire and remained in contact with him earlier this week, but no deal was forthcoming between the two. Florida has kept its options open while engaged with Kelly and is now prepared to pursue those other candidates. With Kelly out of the picture, the Gators likely will focus on Central Florida coach Scott Frost. And now Nebraska fan everywhere is holding their breath.
Oh, yeah.
freaking out, balled up under a table, rocking back and forth, asking the football gods to not allow Scott Frost to take what I think is the better job in Gainesville.
You know, it's interesting on three parts. One, I think it's really bad news for Nebraska fans, and it's really bad news for Oregon fans. I think most Oregon fans are in lockstep of not wanting Chip Kelly to be back in the conference. That's just weird to have that relationship. He would be coaching at Autzen Stadium next year if he takes the UCLA job. So the fact that Florida has reportedly moved on, it makes it sound like he's more than likely going to become the next head coach at UCLA. So I think Duck fans are a little ticked off by that. And as you mentioned, Nebraska fans got to be panicking right now. I mean, they have been all in on Scott Frost. He's the alma mater. They want to bring him back. He's having great success at Central Florida. He's proven himself as a head coach. And it felt like that fan base and program was starting to put all their eggs in the Scott Frost basket. And this is just another wild card you throw into the mix because Florida is a better job. He's already in the state of Florida. He's been recruiting the state of Florida. And it's going to be tough for him to decide which of the job he would rather have. It's a tougher task, I think, to win at Nebraska, but the alma mater ties there. So it's not a guarantee anymore that he's going to be the next head coach at Nebraska. And for Florida on this, why are you – I don't understand the deadline. I honestly don't. Like, I get that maybe – I don't know, maybe you feel like Chip Kelly's playing with you a little bit and he's taking too long and you want him to commit to you right away. But if you firmly believe, as it sounded like they did, because they were all after him, recruiting him, flying up to meet with him, you really believe that he's your next head coach and that he is the best guy for that job, you're just going to move on because he hasn't given you a yes yet and he hasn't made up his mind yet? I don't quite understand that thinking. We're not in the middle of the offseason here. Their season's not even done yet. They have another game this weekend. So I don't understand the logic in just wanting to move on right away.
It doesn't validate. I think your reasoning is sound and just wondering all this. It doesn't validate against it. I think it just strictly, this kind of smells like to me, or at least there's a feel there, Chip is being a little more standoffish than they like. And I think they ultimately want to make whoever they go hire, let's say it's Frost, just for argument's sake. I think they want to make themselves sound way more devoted to a guy interested in them than somebody who...
Not the fallback option.
Yes, and Chip Kelly, and I think we know this based on the first flirting with the NFL and then coming back to Oregon and then eventually leaving. I think Chip's a very undecided individual. He doesn't want to feel rushed. He's not going to be bowing down to how you want things to go. He's going to do it Chip way. And I think maybe Florida is the kind of program that goes, nah, we don't want to do it that way. Yeah. We want you to be interested in us as much as we're interested in you, and maybe that's not happening. And now they feel they can go get Frost. By the way, he's playing USF, and this is for the New Year's Day Six Bowl.
Yeah, they win this, they're in the New Year's Six Bowl.
And, you know, I guess I can't blame Florida. It also, to me, once UCLA became open and you kind of did some reading, and you'd even read between the lines in these articles, didn't you kind of get a feel maybe Chip was more interested in UCLA, or at least it had that feel of like...
Yeah.
Maybe a little more quiet. You're in Pasadena. You're still in a great recruiting ground hub. It's a program that would be invested in the program versus Florida. And we know how great the facilities are in the recruiting grounds. But if I'm Scott Frost, I don't even know if this is a contest to me. We had the color analyst for Nebraska football, and his name is escaping me, but we had him when before they were playing Oregon. And we brought up Frost's name. And he actually said something a little eye-opening. He said, Scott Frost's relationship with Nebraska is not as great as people think it is.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a happy ending.
No, it was not a happy ending for him. And so if you're Scott Frost, you've established a pretty good program in Florida at UCF. Why not just stay there? You're already in great recruiting grounds. You've already established yourself with high school coaches. Now just put Florida behind you.
That's the tough part of just what's more appealing to you. And I think that's interesting of, you know, we've done this with Chip of wondering where he's going to go, wondering where his mind's at. At the end of the day, we all have to remember we don't know. I mean, it's just sources out there reporting, and it's the same thing with Scott Frost. I mean, the relationship could have been torn 20 years ago, but maybe he's always wanted to go back and be a part and be around Tom Osborne again and coach at his alma mater at Nebraska. So, look, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. The UCLA one with Chip, if this ends up happening, and it feels like at this point all signs are pointing to it happening, It's an interesting move for me. It really is. I understand all the reasoning that you laid out. I mean, it's not a as big of a primetime job. You're not as much of a pressure cooker or fishbowl, if you will. It's not like, you know, 3 years in they're going to be relying on you to win a national championship. But even Jim Mora had this a little early. Remember, Jim Mora had back-to-back years, I believe, where he won 10 games or came damn close to it. And there were a lot of folks that said, disappointing year. Look at that recruiting class, UCLA, disappointing year. So I think no matter where you go, the pressure is going to mount. And Chip Kelly is going to come in with name recognition no matter the job he takes. And I think people will be expecting what he did at Oregon. They're going to expect you to come in right away, have the recruiting laid out for you, and go out there and win.
Well, they should with the amount of money he's going to get paid.
That's true. He's going to get a huge contract.
Yeah. So
I would take the Florida job every day of the week. It's a no-brainer for me to go to Florida. No-brainer. I understand there's more pressure.
You get L.A., though.
Everything LA's is built athletes. Into that Florida. You got to out-recruit USC. USC's always going to be the face school of L.A.
Well, in Florida, you got to out-recruit Miami, Florida State to a certain extent.
I get it.
Go against the Nick Sabans of the world.
Florida, you look – I mean, I guarantee you, if you go back the last 25 years –
I'm going to look at the recruiting classes real quick.
Well, I know last year they were number 10 in the country with Jim McElwain. I guarantee if you go look at the last 25 years – you won't find a year Florida has been outside the top 15 in a recruiting class. And UCLA's had some solid years. I mean, they have years where they sneak up there and you're like, look at that. UCLA's got a good recruiting class. And they're in that area. Florida consistently is there year in and year out. It's Gainesville. It's the Swamp. It's one of the biggest stadiums in college football. It's a rabid fan base. That one doesn't make sense to me. I get you don't want the pressure, but it's a much better job.
God, I'm having trouble finding a year. They're not even in the top 10. Let alone the top five. I mean, not that this is, I guess, shocking, because we know how talented those athletes are in the state of Florida and how good of a gig Florida is. But, according to Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports, he is saying that Florida's moved on. They're not waiting for Chip anymore. They're going to move on now, and now they're targeting Scott Frost.
Well, I think your logic is right, though. I think it's them not wanting it to appear like they got turned down by Chip Kelly and it's a fallback option and whoever else they end up going.
Well, and if you're 100% invested in terms of time spent with emails and phone calls and all that on Chip Kelly and you miss, what's your fallback? Maybe they don't have one. And now that kind of scares them a little bit of like, we don't want to lose him.
Oh God, we got to find somebody else.
And I threw this to you earlier and I know we're against it. We got a bloated hour too. I threw this at you a long time ago. When we talked about this topic. Some in Florida, I bet you it is a conversation. It's a debate. Scott Frost or Chip Kelly, who's better to hire right now?
Yeah.
You know, Frost learned the system from Kelly. He stuck around after, has moved on, and he has since established a pretty good program in UCF. Maybe some people just think that's the better hire long term. So Scott Frost is the leader in the clubhouse for Florida, according to Pat Forty, in terms of candidate they want. They're out of the Chip Kelly sweepstakes, and they're playing South Florida as we speak. UCF is. And we'll continue to monitor that situation. All right, we got a loaded second hour. We've got, who's joining us at 1:30?
Jason Gesser.
Jason Gesser will join us at 1:30. We'll get into the Apple Cup. We've got some great Mike Leach audio to play for you today. But we're going to start hour two with this. Oregon State fans, some out there wonder, is Oregon State better off without Nike? Do you think the Beavers should try to separate themselves from the Nike ties? Is it holding them back at all? 55305 Bridgeport Beers text line. Dirt and Sprague will be back with more Hour 2 live at the Moda Center for the PK Invitational on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.